And this morning we just started a new series. I've called it the Go Series. And I think we had a little snag on. We've recorded last week's message, but I don't think it's actually found its way to get up onto the website. But you know, you can listen to the messages on the web, on our Kingdom Faith Church Crawley website. That's www.kfcc.org.uk. You can get onto the Kingdom Faith Church Crawley site, and there you can hear the different messages there that come week by week. And this morning's title, it's the second one in the Go series. We will get last week's up, I promise you, because God had some important things to say to us last week about power to go. And this week I'm going to talk about to go in power and authority. That's the title, Go in Power and Authority. And I'm just going to recap just a little bit over what we said last week. So we're going to dip into a few of the scriptures again just briefly, and then move into a couple of things that God, I really believe God wants to encourage us this morning in the whole aspect that God has given to us the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us up with that anointing, that power. But he's given us power to be bold, power to be strong, not in ourselves but in God. And he's given us power for authority, to have authority in his name wherever we go. So that when you turn up, something changes. When you turn up at Tesco, something happens. I don't know exactly what it will be, but something will happen because someone from the kingdom of heaven just walked into Tesco's.
Amen.
When you turn up in the workplace, something changes. See, that's walking in authority. That's walking in who you are in Christ. It's not walking in pride, it's walking in who you are in Christ. And knowing there's a boldness, there's an authority that God has given to you and given to me, that God wants us to use out there, not just in church. He wants us to use it out there. So let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 7. And we started there last week, but I make no apologies for just reading a few verses again. John chapter 7. And while you're finding it, just encourage you, if you can come tonight, do come tonight to the joint celebration, the joint churches together. We just want to, we've been given this opportunity to lead the worship time, so if you're free to come, do come and meet with God with us in that service, in that meeting. And it's, I'm in the wrong chapter here, but it's John 7 verse 37. The last day of the feast was the greatest. It was then that Jesus stood and he shouted aloud. I like that. Jesus, there was times when he shouted. It wasn't all the time. But he says, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. For from deep within anyone who believes in me will flow out rivers of living water, as the scripture says. Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. Later, those who believed in him would be filled with God's Spirit. Until then, his Spirit had not been given to live within anyone. This would not happen until Jesus had returned to heaven in glory. And we spoke about this last week, how that the rivers of God, first of all, they come to fill us. But the idea is that they, what happens when they fill you up?
It overflows.
And the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is he wants that river, and we spoke about rivers last week, that he wants his river of life and power to flow in us so that it will then flow out of us, and so that the activity of the Holy Spirit will touch other people's lives, both saved and unsaved. So in other words, the Holy Spirit comes as a river to fill you up, meet your needs, bless you, encourage you, strengthen you, empower you to know who you are in Christ and begin to live in the truth which sets you free. But then out of that river is to flow out of you so that you're being blessed, but you're there to be a blessing to others. Just say, I'm a blessing to others. You know, the Holy Spirit's been given to you not just for you. And over the last few years, we've seen a lot of selfishness in the church where people think that the Holy Spirit was just for them. And so they tend to gravitate around something for me. Now, there's a place for that, but we mustn't forget the bigger picture. Is, yeah, the Holy Spirit is for us, and we do need to spending time in his presence. But if that's all we do, we've missed it.
Amen.
So we can become very, very spiritual people. But if nothing flows out, it's a waste of time.
Amen.
God never planned for us to live like that on this earth. He never planned for us to be in a monastery or in a nunnery. That's not in the Bible. He planned for us to spend time with him and to actually to have some time when we go away and spend time with him. But his whole purpose was that we were all to go out in some form or other,
yes,
and preach and proclaim the gospel.
Yes.
Even those who have been given intercessory ministries aren't exempt.
That's
because it's an imbalanced lifestyle. And God wants us to be balanced in the sense of being made whole.
Yes.
And so God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit so that we will live in Christ in the fullness of who he is, knowing his victory in our own lives, and then letting the Holy Spirit begin to flow out of us so that that blessing of that river of God will touch other people's lives in the things that we say and the things that we do. So just say to the Holy Spirit this morning, you can say it with your eyes open, but just say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I want to be all yours. Please use me. Let your rivers flow out of me and touch many. That's what God wants to do. And let's go on to, we also looked last week at Matthew 28. We're not going to go there now. And verse 40, I think it was. No, it wasn't verse 40, was it? It was towards the end of the chapter. And in Matthew 28, it talks about going and making disciples. And we can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. But we are to go and make disciples. In Mark 16, at the end, it says that we're to go and do something else. What was that? What were we to do at the end of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, towards the end? We were to go and... Yeah, but we were to preach something? Preach the Gospel. So, in Mark's Gospel, we're to go and preach the gospel, we're to declare who Jesus Christ is, we're to carry that good news, and we're to lay hands on the sick, heal the sick, work miracles in his name, signs and wonders following us, they're all working with us, okay? And in Matthew's gospel, the emphasis there is to go and make disciples. Now, in both cases, in the going, Jesus didn't have in mind that we would just go and do it. See, we can go and do things, but if without the power of the Spirit, it will fall flat. And it won't produce the fruit, the lasting fruit that Jesus was talking about. So what we need to do is we need to know that we're going in the power. Just say power.
Power.
Say, the Lord has empowered me.
The Lord has empowered me.
He has given me his Holy Spirit.
Now,
if we really, really believe that, then we can receive every day a fresh infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit. I personally don't think we do that enough. And that's because we don't believe. It's a faith issue. God has given us everything we need. The Bible tells us this. He's given everything we need. Once you've been baptized, immersed, saturated in the Holy Spirit, you've got everything you need. But we have to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit because sometimes it leaks out. Sometimes we're giving out from the Holy Spirit. But if we don't get topped up, we'll actually empty out and dry up. And that's why we have to constantly come back to be refilled with the Holy Spirit daily. The Bible talks about us being daily filled with the Spirit. So all of us, God says to each one of us here today, look, I've made a provision for you every day. It's the fullness of my Holy Spirit. I've given you the fullness of my Spirit. Every day is available to you. But it's up to you to believe, that's the first thing, and then receive what I give to you. And then when you go out to your workplace, into your community, down to Tesco's, or whatever you do in your week, you're to walk it out and you're to go out in the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. So that you're always available for the river of God to not flow in you just to be in you, but to flow out of you to others. Because this is all about others. That's how Jesus lived. He lived for God and he lived for others. And that's how we're to be thinking. We live for God, we live for his glory, and we live for others.
Amen.
Amen? And the Lord will take care of ourselves if we have it in that way. So God's called us to go. He's called us to go and make disciples. He's called us to go and preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we spoke about it last week. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So it's just a reminder to us that the power of God comes through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so it says, you will receive power, that's energy, divine energy, supernatural energy and power. It means, we said the other week, it's not talking about an explosion. It's talking about the kind of power that's in your car. When you turn that key and the petrol starts flowing through it, it doesn't just spill over the engine and you've got a great big fire under your bonnet. Right? There's power there, but that's the wrong power. What happens is, when you turn your engine on, the petrol flows, or diesel flows through the tubes, goes to the right place, and because of the whole way it works, it harnesses the energy and uses it for maximum power. So that your car goes down the motorway at 150 miles an hour, whatever it is. And then you get caught. So don't do it. So, but the power of the Holy Spirit is given to us in the same way. It literally means power given to you that's harnessed under the control of God. Amen. So it's given, it's energy given, not just to explode. Sometimes we've done that, used it in the wrong way, and made a bit of a mess. But God wants to teach us how to use the power he's given to us so it will flow through, so we get maximum effect from what he gives to us. So that's why we need self-control, that's the fruit of the Spirit. We need patience, we need all those characteristics of the fruit, what we call the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, if you want to read about it. But you know, the fruit of the Spirit only comes because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? I've heard some people teach about this, the gifts of the Spirit, like there's no power in it. Like it's a different thing. But it's not. It all comes from the power of the Spirit. You can't be patient like Jesus Christ. You can't be loving like Christ without the power of his Spirit in you. So the power of the Spirit produces the characteristics of who Jesus Christ is in you. So that he's given us his Spirit, his power, so that we can be like him. So the fruit of the Spirit comes out of his power. Okay? The power of the Holy Spirit also gives us gifts. They're called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To speak in other languages, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to get words of prophecy, to have words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Things that you didn't have but God gives you. They are gifts. Amen. You don't earn them. They're not to do with your character. They're just gifts that the Spirit gives to you. But he gives those gifts to you out of the power, the energy of the Holy Spirit. Is this making sense? So the Holy Spirit gives you these two areas of your life. Character forms the fruit of being like Jesus. That's Christ living in you. But he also gives you gifts to enable you with your character to do the will of God. And the two things go together. We teach this a lot in the Bible college, that, you know, we don't want to be like this. You know, walking with a limp. You know, when someone walks with a limp because they hurt their leg. We don't want to be like this, you know. Limping, because one side is healthy and the other side's kind of really stiff. God wants us to be walking whole. And the most whole Christians are the ones that their characters are being formed to be like Christ with the power of the Spirit. And the gifts are flowing out of them too. And those two things together means that you're going to live a whole life. And the Spirit will flow out of you like a river. Does it make sense? So it does matter how you live. It does matter what comes out of your mouth. It does matter what you think. Because if you're thinking bad or you're thinking wrong, if you're living in it with a bad attitude in your heart and you're using some of these gifts of the Spirit, what's going to happen? It's not going to have the full effect that it needs to, is it? Yeah. God can give someone the gift of healings and see people heal, but if their character is out of sync with God, that will have a negative effect on using the gifts. It's not that God will take away the gift, but if their character isn't right with God, it'll hinder the flow of what God wants to do. Does this make sense? Amen. And so that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to have our arms open every day. Say, God, just fill me afresh. I need you today. So that in everything that happens, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to flow through me. Turn the key on. Go with it. So God wants to empower us. Let's turn to Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. And while you're turning there, just to remind you that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit flowed, the river of God flowed into about 120 people on the day of Pentecost. Yeah. And the whole purpose of that was to fill them, right? fill them. So first of all, God does care about you. God loves you. And the Holy Spirit's goal is to fill you up till you begin to overflow. Amen? He wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit. God wants this church to be full of the Spirit, full of Him, doesn't He? He doesn't want us to be half full or half empty. He wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, God filled up these new believers, and they began to overflow, didn't they? So they got blessed. They got to know, Jesus is now living in us. They actually experienced the power of God working on the inside of them. And the effect was enormous. And then that river started to immediately flowed out, so that it wasn't just 120 people. It became, how many on the day of Pentecost? 3,120 on the day of Pentecost. So it wasn't just 120 people, but the river flowed out to a bigger mass of people. And they got filled. They got born again, didn't they? Repented and turned to Christ. And they also got baptized in water and in the Spirit. So what did they do? They went out and the river carried on. And this is God's goal for us and for the church in this nation, that He wants that fresh moving and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it'll come upon a group of people. It'll so change them the way that they are. And the river will begin to flow out of them, carrying the signs and wonders of God, God working with them as they preach the gospel, as they proclaim the name of Jesus, so that a greater mass of people are affected by the gospel and come into His kingdom. You imagine what happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost happening in Crawley or East Grinstead. You imagine what would happen, because it wasn't a great number of people. 120 is not a great bunch of people, is it? It's not a huge crowd. It's just 120 people. And God is saying to us, He's saying, it's all to do with your faith and your availability to Me, how much I use you. But God wants that river to flow into this church and flow out of this church and touch a greater mass of people that will bring them into the kingdom of God, and so that they'll become disciples. And just before we get into Acts chapter 4, let's just go to verse 38 just to refresh ourselves, because I always get refreshed when I read these words. Acts chapter 2, just a couple of chapters back. And verse 39. For God's promise of His Spirit is for you, your children, and even for other nations who have lived far from God, for all who the Lord our God chooses and calls to belong to Him. Peter warned them at length of the consequences if they refused to repent and pleaded with them, save yourselves from the corruption of the world that is so evident now. Those who responded to this message were baptized, about 3,000 on a single day. Now this is the result of the Holy Spirit, of His presence, coming upon the early believers, the early church. They then devoted themselves to being taught God's word by the apostles, and to sharing their lives with one another in love. They were also committed to the breaking of bread, recalling all that Christ had done for them, and to praying together. So this life of the Spirit enabled them to live like this. They were being taught the word of God, they were being trained, they were being equipped about the way that God wanted them to move in their lives. They were committed to the breaking of bread, communion, but really a lot of it was wrapped around homes and sharing meals together, breaking bread together, having communion together. And they prayed a lot. The early church prayed a lot together. And there was a sense of awe among them because of the miracles and wonderful works that God performed through the apostles. That was that river flowing out again, wasn't it? And this was happening in the church and then out of the church, affecting the masses of people. All the believers lived as members of one body and shared whatever they had with one another. That's another fruit from the power of the Spirit. When I think, well, my car, although it's mine in the sense of it belongs to me because I bought it, I'm a steward of it, but really it's for anyone to use. I have to do something with the insurance then, but actually, no, it's for other people to use where they need it. And that would be true of our other possessions that we have, that they're not just ours, but if we recognise we're all part of one body, then we have a body mentality, rather than a selfish, just this is me and my world. No, this is us and the kingdom of God. And the early church had this mindset. They continued to come together in the temple courts every day. They also met in one another's homes, sharing the Lord's Supper, there it is, and eating their meals with glad and thankful hearts. They love food. That sounds good, doesn't it? They love their food, but they love the Lord more, and they love spending time together and had a lot of fun, a lot of gladness, not sadness, and they shared their lives together. And they praised God and were shown favour by everyone. And every day the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved.
Amen.
That's what I live for. I'll be honest with you, these verses, that's what I live for. I live out of this, really. I live with a vision in my heart. That's what God wants. That's what I'm living for. And that's what God's going to do.
Amen.
But he needs of people to do it through. And it starts with me. And it starts with you. And are you ready for the Holy Spirit to have his way? Because that's what the being filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit is all about. It's what we just read there. So the power of the Holy Spirit isn't just to make goosebumps to go up and down my back or make my hair stand on end. It may do that. But the power of the Holy Spirit is given to do something.
Amen.
So that as we go in the power of the Spirit, things will happen. People will hear the good news about Jesus. And miracles will take place to demonstrate that what we just said was true and right. So when we pray for the sick, God will heal them. God will answer other prayers that we pray for people where God will work miracles. And we see this happen, but I don't know about you, but I hunger for a whole lot more. A whole lot more for the Lord. The Lord wants to do a whole lot more amongst us. And I was thinking about this earlier this morning, that if we had three jugs this morning, Nigel, would you like to be a jug? Who'd like to be another jug? We have three jugs. Come on, Alex, you can be a jug. Who else would like to be a jug this morning? Yeah, Ian. Ian's going to be a jug. Right, the story of the three jugs, all right? Now, this is a picture. This is a picture of us this morning. And you'll be one of these three jugs. The first jug is this one here. This is this jug here. Nothing personal, Alex, all right? Because you've got big muscles. So the first jug is an empty jug. This jug is empty. Okay? And so what God wants to do is he wants to fill the jug till it overflows. And that's not a problem with the jug. And this was the position of the early believers. They'd been forgiven of their sins. They'd been washed. They were ready. They were waiting. They just need to be filled. That may be true for some people here this morning, that you just may be an empty jug. You just need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Once that river comes into you and fills you up, you'll know it, that you've received power to enable you to live a different life, but also you'll then go out in that power and be able to tell other people about Jesus Christ the Lord and share the good news with signs and wonders following. So that river will flow out of you. The second jug, this one here, in this jug, I don't know how you're going to act this, but this jug is all blocked up. It's full of muck and stuff.
Great.
How would you do that?
Just cover your roof.
Put your hand on your hip for the handle.
It's Aladdin going to come out. Genie, isn't it? There you go.
Now, this jug is blocked up. And so what God wants to do is he's got to unblock the jolly thing before we can fill it up. This jug here was just empty. He wanted to fill it. This one here has got to be... It's got to be cleansed, it's got to be purified, it's got to get the stuff out so that the Holy Spirit's not just going to come on top of this stuff, but it's washed away so that he can then be cleansed, purified, and filled up till he overflows as well.
Yes.
So we've got two jugs now full of the Spirit, right, overflowing with God. And the third jug is this one. It's quite a big jug, actually. And I'll be careful what I say this morning. So this jug here... He's quite full. He's actually full right up to his chin with the Spirit. So, full of the Spirit. He just needs a little bit more, that's all. He just needs a little bit more so that he'll begin to overflow. So, he's got the Spirit in him, but he just needs a little bit more like we do every day. Because if you're using what God gives you, you just need a fresh supply to come upon you, don't you, every day. So, which jug do you want to be? Well... That one there as well, because he's got cleansed and filled, and that one there was empty, but now he's full of the Spirit. So just give applause to the three jugs. Thank you. So whatever jug you are this morning, whether it's that you're empty and you just need to be filled, saturated with the Holy Spirit, that's all right. God will do that. He's promised to fill you with the Spirit, to give you his power. If you're one that's got stuff in you, whether it's a lot or a little, God wants to cleanse you. And he wants to, like we would put the jug under the tap, wash it, you know, let the force of the water wash it out and then cleanse it so that you begin to overflow. Or if you're already this morning, you're walking with God, you've got a good relationship with God, you're full of the Spirit, but you just need a little bit more. We all need more of the Holy Spirit. And the reason God needs to give us more is so that we can actually release more of that river out to others. Are you in chapter 4? Acts chapter 4. And we're just going to talk for a few minutes about this. One of the things about the early church is that the early church was more organic than organized. It was more organic than organized. What I mean by that is there was such a tremendous life that flowed into that early church that there was an organicness about the church. There was a life flow. And out of that organic life that God was producing in all of the believers, the Holy Spirit formed an organization around it. He began to organize the leaders to organize the church. Does that make sense? And what's historically happened in the church is that leadership or man has taken hold and organized in a wrong way and hindered the Spirit from flowing. Does that make sense? What God wants us to do is to be led by the Spirit. So as the Spirit of God moves, we move with him, and he will direct us how to organize that organic life of God. That's why Jesus said the new wine needs a new wineskin. The wineskin is the flexible structure to hold the wine, so it doesn't just seep out everywhere, but it's actually contained in the right way. And it's a picture of how the church needs to be today, that God wants to make the church, as he fills the church, us, with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want to fill us so that it just floods out everywhere and we lose it all, but it needs to be held together, if you like, by a wine bottle or a wineskin. And that wineskin, a new wineskin, is soft and it's supple. It's actually able to move with the new wine that's poured into it. And that's how God wants the church to be today. And it's not that God doesn't want to have organization, because he does. Organization is important. And as we grow, we need different kinds of organization. But we need to make sure that the Holy Spirit is in charge of that organizing. That makes sense? And so that it's about the organic life of God flowing in us as a church. And any organization, any leadership of that comes is actually being led by the Spirit of God. Well, this was happening in the early church, and there was this tremendous flow of God. And we're going to read in Acts chapter 4. Let's read at verse 1, just to get the picture. While Peter and John were addressing the people, some priests and Sadducees, these were religious leaders, together with the captain of the temple guard, approached them. They were extremely disturbed because the apostles were teaching that through Jesus, the dead are definitely resurrected. They arrested Peter and John, and because it was late in the day, they had thrown them into prison overnight. Despite this, many who had heard their message became believers, and their number grew to about 5,000 men. Isn't that amazing? So the church is really on a roll. There's something, the Holy Spirit's flowing out now, and there's 5,000 people now that have been saved. On the following day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was present, as were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They ordered Peter and John to be brought before them and demanded to know by what power, what was the question? By what
power?
By what power and in whose name did you heal that man? Remember, Peter and John healed the cripple outside the temple. Incredible miracle of God. After this man had been crippled for years and years. And the result of that spread out all around Jerusalem, the news of what had happened and other miracles and healings that were taking place. So who now gets it in the neck? Peter and John. And they've now been arrested. And it's interesting, the questions that they're asked, by what power and in whose name did you heal that man? They recognise that Peter and John had operated in a power. They had operated in an authority as well. Power and authority. And they wanted to know, by what power and whose name did he heal that man? What a great opportunity to preach the gospel. So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, here it is, look. He's like Ian, okay? He just needs a little bit more. And so he's asked these questions. And this is what God does. When we're in situations, as we go, which is what they did, they went, full of the Spirit. But as they went, they needed a little bit more. And here it is, that it says, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened was, he was full, but God needed to give him a bit more. Amen. For that situation. Of course he did. And so it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to overflow. This is my version. He began to overflow. And it says, he replied, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being charged because of an act of mercy shown to a cripple, and you want to know how he was healed, then you and all the people of Israel need to understand this. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man can stand before you completely healed. Amen. I don't know how many of you get the magazine from David Hathaway, but it comes out, I think, every other month, I think it is. But in that magazine are all the latest miracles that happened either in the last crusade or a few crusades ago that have been verified by doctors and hospitals and so on. Amen. And he's got pages full of these incredible miracles that the Holy Spirit's done. Hallelujah. And I just find it so encouraging. I get the magazine and I read the articles, which are very good, but I actually enjoy most of the pictures. And the little things that say underneath, healed from car accident, could never walk again, totally healed. You know, it's full of amazing miracles that the Holy Spirit has performed, because he's operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. He knows that when he goes out to a crusade, and we had him here come and speak, I'm hoping he'll come again, hopefully before the year is out, is that he knows that when he goes to do a crusade, he's very aware of his weakness, but then he gets filled with more of the Holy Spirit. So when he preaches the gospel, he knows it's not him that does it, it's the Holy Spirit who does the work. Amen. And at the end of his crusades, he doesn't lay hands on people, he just calls people to respond to the gospel, to repent of their sins. And while he's doing all of that, he then encourages people to receive healing in their bodies. And all these amazing testimonies come, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you have the same Holy Spirit living in you, and we've got the same Holy Spirit actually dwelling in this church. So we should expect the same things.
Yes.
I know that when he goes to a crusade, he's expecting thousands of miracles to take place. He's expecting loads and loads of people to be saved. So his faith is in God, in the Spirit. And we need to be the same way. We need to be full of the Spirit. And our expectation is, God, whatever happens this week, please use me to reach someone for you, yes, to tell someone about you, Jesus. Because most of us aren't going to go to a crusade in Russia. Most of us aren't going to go to a big crusade, perhaps in Bulgaria. But what we are doing is we're going to leave our front door, going to go out of our house and going to see someone this week. Even if it's to go down the shops, even if it's to take the children out, God has a purpose in everything that we do. And we need to have an outward focus that goes beyond just our own little lives, that goes out into a lost world. So that we're getting, the eyesight of Jesus. And that we're going out full of the Spirit so that miracles will happen. Just say this with me. This is a great confession. The miracle is in my mouth. The gospel is in my mouth. I'm going to speak the gospel and I'm going to work miracles in Jesus' name. Well, I heard you say that.
Amen.
I've heard most of you say that this morning, hopefully all of you, that this week I'm going to proclaim the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah? I'm going to tell someone about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The miracle is in my mouth. And I want to take you, let's just go to further down here in Acts chapter 4 and show you how this works. If I can get the right verse. Let's just jump all the way down to verse 20. Let's go to verse 23. And while you're going there, let me just say this to you, that I can't really miss this bit out. In verse 13, when they saw the boldness and authority with which Peter and John spoke, although they knew them to be ordinary men, this is verse 13, They knew them to be ordinary men who had received no theological training. They realised that they were followers of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, that should encourage most of us. If you haven't received a theological training, which they hadn't, these were ordinary fishermen. Most of us people in the church are very ordinary. Amen. Most of us didn't come from a royal background. Noble people in our blood, you know, kings and all of that, who aren't so noble probably anyway. From high society. Most of us come from very humble, ordinary backgrounds. And like Peter and John. And it says, when they saw the boldness and the authority with which Peter and John spoke, they knew them to be ordinary men who'd received no theological training. They realised that they were followers of Jesus. That's the effect of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus living inside of you. That people will see, this man has got something that I haven't got. This woman has got something in her life that I want. It's the power and the love of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Peter and John were living on a high. They were in this. They'd been arrested. They were full of the Spirit. And they were testifying about the miracles. And everyone recognised that these were just ordinary men, but they'd been somehow miraculously, supernaturally charged and changed by the Holy Spirit filling them. Let's go down to verse 18. So they called Peter and John before them and ordered them not to speak or teach again in the name of Jesus. I wonder what you would do if you were told, and it may well happen in this nation. I pray it doesn't, but it may well happen, because it does say in the Bible that things are going to get darker before the end. It says that we'll be persecuted for our faith. So it could happen, and it may be God's actually planned for it to happen, to purify the church. But, you know, it says that they were ordered not to preach the name of Jesus. What happens to us when we're told, well, you can't go and preach in the town square? You can't go and call on people's homes. In fact, you're not allowed to have meetings any longer the way you do. What would we do?
We'd do it anyway.
Well, I hope we do it anyway with the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But God wants to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he wants us to make the most of the grace opportunity that we have in this nation over these next few years while the doors are still open. Because God wants to do something in the church in this nation that isn't just to bless the church, but it's to enable the church to preach the gospel in the power of the Spirit, to train up disciples and to carry that gospel out into the far reaches of Europe. Amen?
Amen.
To see Europe really change. There's a trust that God has given, I believe, to the church in Britain for other nations, especially for other nations in Europe. Europe is the most hardened area of the world to Christ. It's a known fact. And God wants to move by his Spirit, by filling this church with the power of the Holy Spirit in these days, so that that gospel is spread like a fire that reaches out, not just in this nation, but into other nations in Europe. Amen. So this continent is set ablaze with the fire of God, so that Europe has another opportunity to turn to Christ and be saved before Jesus comes back. And this is their response. You can judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's eyes for us to obey you rather than to obey him. We cannot remain silent. I like that. But must speak about what we have seen and heard. In other words, you can't shut up the Holy Spirit. When he's on the inside, he burns inside of you. If I don't go and tell someone about Jesus, I go a bit strange. I actually feel like I'm incomplete when I'm not talking to people about Jesus. Because the Spirit, the river inside of me, is wanting to get out and make him known in lots of different ways. And that's the work of the Spirit. So the council threatened them further before releasing. They couldn't agree on any suitable form of punishment, because all the people were praising God for the wonderful miracle that had happened. For the man who had been a cripple was over 40 years old. Once released, Peter and John returned to the other believers to report on all that was said to them by the chief priests and elders. Now listen to this. This is their prayer meeting. In response, the believers all prayed aloud with one mind together, thanking God by saying, Sovereign Lord, you created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through your servant and father David. Why do the nations rage? Why do the people make their own useless plans? The kings of the earth and rulers together stand against the Lord and his anointed one. This is what happened here in this city. Herod and Pontius Pilate, Gentiles and the people of Israel together plotted against your holy servant Jesus, your anointed one. But they were only doing what you had decided by your power and will should happen. But this was your plan. But now, Lord, because you are aware of their threats, enable us as your servants to speak your words of truth with great boldness. I want to encourage you today. The word of the Lord to you this morning and to us as a church is, God is saying to us this morning, he says, you are my servants, each one of you, not my servants. We're his servants, servants of the Lord. And he says, I want you to speak words of truth. Just say words of truth.
Words of truth.
Just say, I'm going to speak words of truth of the gospel. And it says here that they part of their prayer, Lord, because you're aware of their threats, enable us as your servants to speak your words of truth with great boldness. Just say, if you're a woman, say, I'm a woman of boldness. If you're a man, say, I'm a man of boldness. God's called us to be a church of boldness. And he, by the Holy Spirit, he wants to release us so that we will speak. This is being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we speak words of truth with great boldness. Words of truth with great boldness. I want you, just close your eyes just for a minute. I want you to see yourself this morning, how God sees you. That's difficult, because I can't do that. But God wants us to see ourselves as he sees us. He sees you as a woman of God, if you're a woman. He sees you as a man of God. And he sees you speaking. He sees you as his servant, as his son or his daughter. And he sees you speaking his words of truth with great boldness.
Amen.
He sees you as being a person without fear and without shame.
Amen.
He sees you as his, full of the Holy Spirit and full of power, speaking words of truth and words of great, it says, great boldness. That's how he sees you this morning. That's his mandate over your life. I want you to speak words of truth and with great boldness. That you'll speak words of truth with great boldness. That's what he wants to release in you and through you today and in this coming week and for the rest of your life. Amen. And he goes on to say, we need to see you stretch out your hand to heal the sick and to perform more signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed in this way, the meeting place shook. What did that mean? I reckon it meant that God was answering their prayer and he was pleased what they prayed. Literally shook the place. And it says they were all filled with the what?
Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit. So they got their prayer answered immediately. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. Just say again. They all feel the Holy Spirit again and spoke God's word boldly. Did you get that? You see, some of you are probably thinking, it's all right for you because that's what you do. That's your life, isn't it? You know, you're leading the church here, you're part of the church and you've got opportunity to do it. But you know, we all have opportunity to speak the truth of God's word.
That's right.
Whatever sphere you're in, whether it's in your home sphere, you're at home a lot of the time, whether it's in your work sphere, whether it's in church sphere, whatever sphere it is, God wants you to speak his word.
Amen.
So whatever sphere God's spoken to you, he's set you in that place so that you will speak God's word. Now, I'm not talking about just preaching the gospel at people insensitively because you're employed to do a job. But what I am saying is let the Holy Spirit take control. Let him fill you with power, because you will have opportunities when you will be asked, what is it about you? Why does this happen when you're around? You'll have opportunities, perhaps in your break time at work, to speak out for God. Even in work, you'll have opportunities that you can sensitively, the Holy Spirit will use you to speak. But God wants you to speak his words, with his words of truth with great boldness. And as you do, the Holy Spirit wants to then do a work. Now, I read this in the Greek last night because Pastor Collins' version is fantastic. It's great. But I thought I'm going to check this out in the Greek because I don't think it's saying quite what it should say. And it says here in the Greek, it says that they spoke the words of God or the words of truth with great boldness. And what it literally means is so that, God, you can stretch out your hand and heal the sick and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. In other words, the whole point of speaking God's word of truth is so that power will flow out of our lives, so that God will heal the sick, so that miracles will happen, so that signs and wonders will take place. Sometimes when we read it, it's like there's two things. You speak God's words of truth with great boldness, and Lord, you're going to have to stretch out your hand because I can't do anything about it. You're going to have to stretch out your hand and heal the sick and perform miracles. But God's saying, no, no, no. He said, I've given you the word. I want you to stretch out your hand because your hand is an extension of my hand. As you speak my words of truth with great boldness, signs and wonders and miracles will flow out of your spirit and out of the words that you speak, and things will happen because you spoke in agreement with what I said. That's what God wants to do.
Amen.
And that's what God wants to do through you. And it doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be done with a great big crowd around you. You know, when Jesus was ministering the gospel, he ministered the supernatural, not the spectacular. Often we have these big crusades and there's lots of spectacular things. It's great to have great big crusades where God's moving. But most of the miracles Jesus did weren't spectacular miracles, they were supernatural miracles, if you get the drift. So often someone would have been healed and Jesus just carried on walking, he just healed them of a miracle where perhaps they hadn't got a leg and they grew a leg. And he just carried on walking, it just happened. That's supernatural. It wasn't spectacular because there wasn't great big flags and cameras and videos, but God just did it. And what God wants the church to come into is a time of supernatural power, not spectacular things.
Oh, you can,
you know, part of our nature is we want to make things spectacular. And there's a place for having events. But what God wants to do is he wants the supernatural to be released.
Amen.
Not the spectacular. Because the spectacular always reverts back to man.
Yeah.
But the supernatural always reverts back to who Christ is and that he did it. And all the glory goes back to him. And what God wants to do, he wants to release the supernatural power of his spirit through the words that we speak. That's why it's so important what you say. It's so important what you believe about God's word in your own life. It's so important that when we're talking to people that we're saying, Holy Spirit, cause me to speak your words of truth with great boldness so that miracles and signs and wonders will also happen while I'm speaking. Amen. It's called faith. God's called us to be a supernatural people. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah.